Let's start with this. That's a new subject. That more or less sometimes I spoke about in Shulchan Aruch.
Can I ask you a question before you start?
Yeah, sure. Anyhow, I don't see the boys here. That's why.
What's the story with the time that you could eat before the Omer? They said a half hour before sunset or a half hour before the three stars appear. What's the story?
That's a good question. According to the halacha, eating half an hour before sunset. But today we do not make the bracha at that time. Since maybe since there is a custom not to say the bracha, maybe a person can say from the time that half an hour before the time that they say the bracha. What we say the bracha, it's called Tzedek Kochavim. Tzedek Kochavim, according to Moran, is considered about between 1/4 hour to 20 minutes before, after sunset. Really, what Moran says, a distance of 3/4 of a mile, mile according to the books, is 18 minutes. 3/4 of a mile will become 13 and a half minutes. But they talk about all these things, what they say, 18 minutes or 13 and a half minutes. They talk according to when the day is 12 hours, and each hour is 60 minutes. But if the day is longer, then the hour is longer, not 60 minutes. If the hour is longer, the minute is longer. The 60 will be more than 60. Therefore, when Moran says 13 and a half, that's only for a day that's of 12 hours. More than 12 hours of figure. They figure, that's why they say always 15 to 20 minutes. About 20 minutes, they know even the longest day will be 20, 22 minutes. That's why usually we say it's coming 20 minutes after sunset. Not because Moran says 20 minutes, Moran says 13 and a half minutes, which is always, he uses the language 3/4 of a mile before, after sunset. And it's known, according to the books, they said mile is 18 minutes.
So yesterday was 7:37 sunset.
Yeah.
So 20 minutes after that, you come home from shul, you can't eat anything until 20 minutes after? Like, without 18 minutes after, you're saying?
That's right. If you
and then you can count to Omer before the three stars appear? Before it said HaKohavim?
According to Moran, this is Tzedek HaKohavim. Do you understand? That's it. You can count down about that. And the Kubbalim in Yerushalayim, they are very, very particular to start early, about 15 minutes after sunset, because they say Shiva Shabbatot Temimot. The day has to be complete. Complete means it has to be the beginning of the day to make it complete, the counting. This is the custom. The Kubbalim are more particular than others, that they will do it early. We usually wait 20 minutes after sunset, that we say the bracha.
Wait 20 minutes to say the bracha and not to eat until after?
No, not to eat, that's what I said. To eat after, or if they want to eat before, how much before they can eat. So not to eat within half an hour before the time of the counting. Now within half an hour, you don't, but more than half an hour before, you can eat. That's the question. Half an hour you figure before sunset or half an hour before the time you count? That's the question. That's the question. The question, according to the halacha, what the book said, half an hour before sunset, because according to Moran, you can count even. Counting doesn't have to be Tzedek Kochavim, Moran says. It could be even before. Do you understand? Right after sunset. Especially Minyan. That they are afraid if they will not count, they may forget it. And for the sake of the people, that they permit them, Moran permits them, as long as it is after sunset, they can say the bracha and count. That means the time is ready from sunset. That's when half an hour before sunset they should. If a person knows himself, he never does it from sunset, he waits for the coming. There will be half an hour for the time he is going to come. Did you understand what I'm saying?
They're all completely confused.
The halacha was half an hour before the time of the counting. When is that the time of counting? According to the halacha, time of counting, they can count the public from sunset. Then half an hour, half an hour before sunset. But in fact, today, people do not count from sunset. When they count, they start counting chabim. They wait for another 20 minutes. Since they wait 20 minutes, they never count before. Then the counting, the half an hour should start from before the time of the counting.
So that's time counting, sunset,
for example, if sunset today is 7:30. According to the halacha, originally was half an hour before 7 o'clock. Come 7, you can't eat. You have to wait, then it will be 7:30, and then you count, and then you eat. But the fact is, they don't count 7:30 at sunset. When do they count? At 10 to 8. Then if it's half an hour before 10 to 8, that's 20 after 7. From 20 after 7 on, you can't eat till you count home. But before 20 to 7, you can eat. Because we go according to the person that he, when does he count?
So you ate dinner now?
Huh?
I'm curious to know, did you eat dinner? In other words, you have to wait for between...
I said, no.
In other words...
You counted home already?
No. I ate dinner at 7:30. You're not supposed to.
Oh, you ate, I mean.
Yeah.
You ate already, you can finish. You can't. What is there to talk about? Yeah, they say not to eat at that time. 7:30, that's sunset. 7:35 today. Of course not. Okay, now let's go.
First day back on the job.
Huh?
First day back at work.
Yeah, you know, people, they want to make up for them. They work late. They work Sunday now. This week, really, the 2 weeks, they were very short weeks. People want to work Sunday and all them to make up the lost time. Mark, Baruch Hashem, he always, wherever he goes, his work goes with him. Uh-huh. You worked in Israel?
No.
I only learned.
Only learned.
Yeah. And you know who went to Israel and made Aliyah? He opened the store there. Sasson, the butcher. Used to be the butcher on the
highway.
Kings Highway?
Yeah, he's in Yerushalayim.
Oh, now he's in Yerushalayim.
He's in Harnof. And he opened the store over there.
What's his store?
Card store, no. Right? Stationery store.
Huh? Like stationery, Galanta, yeah, the toys, something like this.
I hope he makes it.
In Harnof. He's already 3 years there. He's happy and he doesn't want to come.
Pizza guy was there.
Oh, my. Hello, anyone from Alam Shah? Call me
Yavdo. I have a question. So,
yes.
Suppose I'm in Israel during Pesach.
Yeah.
So there.
My, huh?
You got 8 days.
No,
let me hear what it is. No one already the question, you know the answer. I didn't hear any question yet.
Now,
at the spoor, yeah, though.
This is a different complaint.
You know what I told him? You're a spoor, you know what it means, spoor? Some children are born after 9 months that are mother pregnant. Some they're born on the 7th month. When a person wants to rush things ahead of others, they call him the one of the 7 months. It's boy. So he couldn't wait till the 9 months.
Believe me, I was premature. Cool.
Yeah. You were?
I were.
Yeah. I thought you were always perfect.
Never.
Yeah.
Far from it.
Yeah.
So the Israelis finish the 7th night.
The what?
On the night of the 8th. The Israeli.
Yeah.
He finished on the 8th night.
That's all.
And the 7th and the 8th night. We finished on the 9th. The 9th night.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, suppose I want to go into an Israeli restaurant after the Zeman. The 9th night.
Yeah.
Mine is the 9th night.
Yeah.
Can I eat from them? They bake their bread today on the day that I can't eat bread. Is it all right to eat from them? Or
yeah.
No? It's okay?
Yeah. You ask the question, you got the answer.
Yes, that's yes. Why I'm asking.
Definitely.
That's why I'm asking.
So what's the difference of Melaka on the eighth day?
You don't understand the question.
You're not going to sell it to get
Tal-Harbit. Here, this year, Pesach started Monday night.
Right.
Tuesday is the first day of the holiday.
I understand.
That's why. In Israel, the holiday finished on Monday.
Okay.
Here, the holiday finished Tuesday night. The man who is living here and went to Israel, he's supposed, yet even though he's in Israel, he's supposed to celebrate another day. After the Israeli finishes their holiday, he's supposed to celebrate another day. And he celebrates another day, which is Tuesday. Came Tuesday night, he said. He wants to eat bread. Is he allowed to eat bread Tuesday night or not?
Yeah.
Because this is already after Pesach, even according to his
right.
account. But he's asking, but this bread belongs to a Jew during
the day
that he was not allowed to eat. Can he eat that bread?
Good question.
Good question. But you don't believe a good answer was.
Yeah,
why
not?
We gave him.
You see the
And now you understood today. This question?
Yeah, that was good answer.
Not the way you thought before.
Right.
I'm telling him that what not. Yeah.
How do you say that again? Early? How do you say it?
What?
Were a person premature? Or too fast?
Svui.
Svui. I hadn't told that to my mother. Is that Arabic or Hebrew?
No, Arabic. Hebrew nolad l'shvah hadashim.
That's too long.
He said, Mapparatsta alecha paret.
That's too long.
Yeah.
If you sully home alone.
Yeah.
Right, you're going to sully out of beat 20 minutes after sunset. You're going to sully out of beat home. It's not dark out yet.
You are asking if he can pray our beat before the way we pray in the shul or not?
Right, and can he say the Omer or wait till it's dark?
No, the way the Omer wait till the stars.
Okay, so that is where.
But the question of the prayer of Arbit, that's not a question. Two separate questions. The custom for the Omer, they wait. Because originally the Omer, originally was Firat Omer, the Oraita, they wait. But Arbit, he can pray from the Halakha point of view, he can pray earlier. But some books, they don't like it. They say, if he's praying alone, why shouldn't he wait? Why should he start for? When we pray Arbit early, we pray to pray Arbit in Minyan. They don't want to bother the Minyan. The Minyan come, people come from the work. Tell them, hey, pray Mincha. If they pray Mincha, then tell them, wait, you can't pray Arbit. Then they may go home. They forget all about Arbit. They want. Then they allow them to pray Arbit on it. So that's good as far as public concern. But if an individual, why shouldn't he wait? Okay. They therefore advise that he should wait. But the halakha, if he tells you, still I want to pray, he is permitted.
And then wait for the Omer when it gets dark, the same
Omer. That's right. That's what halakha. Even though the books, they said, no, you should not, the halakha is really mutar. Because halakha based according to the Gemara. And the Gemara, Mishnah, really. There is a mahloket, disagreement between two groups of rabbis. One headed by Rabbi Yehuda, headed by many rabbis. Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim. They argue about the time of the prayer, each prayer of the day. Three prayers a day. In every prayer, there is an argument between them. Disagreement. Chachamim said, the prayer of Shacharit till midday. Yehuda said, no, one third of the day. Mincha, Chachamim said, You have from when that starts two opinions. Some they say right after beginning of the afternoon till sunset. Some say no. Only 2.5 hours before sunset till sunset. That's why one is called Minhaged Olam, one called Minhaketana. Many people understand Minhaged Olam, big Minha. Haketana is on high. It's not small, not big. The same Minha. The prayer is the same. No change. Minha that has a long time, a big time, long time, that's called Gedola. Minha that has limited time, shorter time than the others that they gave much more time. It's called Minha Ketana. Minha Gedola begins from half an hour after midday till sunset. Say half an hour after midday till sunset, how many hours it is? How many hours will be?
One tenth.
From you say midday is 6 hours of the day passed from the daylight till midday, and the midday till sunset. Then how many hours? If you say half an hour after midday, that's 5.5 hours left. That's called 5.5 hours, the time of Minha. It's a long time they give him, 5.5 hours. You can say it at 12:30, you can say it 1:30, 2:30, anytime you want, sunset. Sunset is where? When? 4:30 till 4:30, or 6 o'clock till 6 o'clock. Depend when is sunset. Is that clear? That's called Minha Gedola. They give him 5.5 hours. If you divide the way into 12, each one part is called 1 hour. Now, some they say, no, sir, you can't play Minha like this. Minha begins only 2.5 hours before Shikha. If the Shikha was 6 o'clock, 2.5 hours before, that's 3:30. You can play at 1 o'clock. Why? What argue about it? Because the Gemara says, Tefillot keneged temidim tikenum. The prayers that we pray, 3 Shachrit, Minha, and Arbit. Why they told us to pray? According to the Torah, do we have to pray or not? Of course, there is a mitzvah in the Torah that we should pray. But the Torah did not tell us to pray 3 times a day, or 1 or 4. Pray 3 times a day, pray every day. Where is written in the Torah we should pray? We say it every day in Kriyat Shema. V'haya im shamoa tishma'u mitzvotai. God says, and it will become to be. When you will listen to my commandments, Shalachim Yitzaber Etchem Hayom, Le'ahava, to show that you love Hashem, et Hashem Lechem, Ul Avdo Bechol Levamachem, you serve Him in all your heart, Bechol Namshechem, Ul Avdo Bechol Levamachem, in Hebrew, this word, Levamachem, to serve Him with your heart, with all your heart. What does it mean, serve Him with all your heart? You serve yourself with your hand, not with your heart. The heart doesn't serve. That means Ezri Gemara said, Ezri Avodah Shebalev. What kind of a service it is for the heart? Zohi Tefillah. Means pray to God. Therefore they say, since the Pasuk said, Ul Avodah Bechol Avodchem, you have to pray. Avodah Shebalev means a prayer. The Torah commanding you to pray every day. But the Torah didn't say Shachrit, Minha, Arbit. You may come and pray. One prayer, any time, any part of the day, I did my duty. Yes, you did. Duty of the Torah, you did. But, Chamim said, you have to pray 3 times a day. Shachrit, Minha, Arbit. Why? Because they said we must pray in order to accomplish and practice the mitzvah of the Torah of offering sacrifices every day. What the Torah said? We must offer 2 animals a day on behalf of all the public, on behalf of all Israel. Comes from the money of all Israel. Which money is that? Money that they give once a year, mahatzit, a shekel. They put it in a box in Beit HaMikdash. It was a large boxes. They collect all that money and they buy. They buy on behalf of all the people, and they offer sacrifices. How many sacrifices? The Torah said you must offer sacrifices twice a day. One in the morning and one in the afternoon. Must be during the day, because the Torah says korban you don't offer during the night. Only ביום צבותו להרכיב את ביניהם. ביום, ביום ולא בלילה, גמרא עושה. During the day and not night. They must have one animal in the morning, one animal in the afternoon, try to make it closer to the evening, in order to give them a chance, because all the other korbanot, they had to be offered between these two. Between the one of the morning and the one of the afternoon. You can't do before the korban of the morning. You can do after the korban of the afternoon. All the korbanot must come in between. These are two korbanot. There is two prayers, shahrit and mincha. Will come from Arabic. You say the prayer instead of the korbanot, and because the prayer, the Torah said, the Bible said, and the Nabiim Shalema Farim Sefatim. We complete the mitzvah of offering parim, korbanot, by our lips. That means by praying, the prayer comes instead of the sacrifice, which is very hard also to pray properly, and that's a big sacrifice. Because it has to constantly think only about the prayer. How many people are there? A korban's easier. You bring a korban, you slaughter it. You know, why do you bring a korban? God taught me to serve. You serve him with the korban. But come tell him to feel like you serve him, sure. And he says, when he says, Baruch Ata Hashem, who won today, Yankee or what? At that time he thinks about the Yankee or he thinks about the stock exchange, what is up, down, or who terrible today, way down, whoever. They talk, his head, well, he's busy, he's traveling from different things, one place to another. He's saying, Baruch Ata Hashem, he doesn't know what he's saying. One rabbi said, I give thanks to my head. When I reach Modim, it goes down by itself. I don't even notice that went down. Because eventually, everybody gets used to that. When he says, Modim, it goes down. It goes down because the one said, the one who doesn't bow down in the time he's supposed to bow, like Modim, if he doesn't, terrible thing. What happened? The spine will turn into a snake. His spine that he will never enjoy getting up again at Hayat meeting. It's a big, very severe punishment. This is. Then we say, Korbanot, Korban Tamid, one in the morning, one in the evening, to pressure and how it comes out. The Torah said, the Korban that you offer during the day, you slaughter the animal, cut it, take the skin off, you skin it. Who takes the skin? Kohanim. Kohanim that they walked with this animal. They take it.
Right on the corner.
Which corner? Here? Which corner? Here?
Yeah.
Jackie Cassin. You sure?
Yeah. They probably stopped the car.
With the house or the street?
With my casting house.
What is the house itself?
Yeah, Morris Casting. The one in the alleyway.
Morris or the Jackie?
Morris.
Morris. Come and say, Tefillot instead of the Korban Tamid. Shahrit or Korban Tamid in the morning. Mincha instead of Korban Tamid in the afternoon. Korban Tamid is called Ola. The Torah said, what do you do with the Ola? You slaughter it, you skin it off, the skin goes for the Kohanim, but the whole animal, the meat, you cut it into what? And you burn it over the Mizbeah. How long you have the time of burning it? That's the same day, and also the night after, till the morning. This is what the Parashat Tzav, we read it before. Yeah. Al-Mukeda al-Mizbeach, kul al-Layla al-Bokim. You have time the whole night till the morning. Chachamim said, since you have time for the burning of the parts of the Korban, that's called Haktarat Evarim Ufdarim. to offer the parts of the animals and the head of the fat, then you have also another prayer for that time that the korban goes on the mizbeah during the night. They made tefillat arbit. That means they can say arbit just as it is an obligation, as much as shahrit and ha'onot. Two different opinions in the Gemara. One said yes. Rabbi Yehoshua, we had Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabban Gamliel said, Hoba, it's obligation of every Jew to pray Arbi just as much as he has to pray Shahid and Ha. Rabbi Yehoshua said, no, it's not the same, it's not equal to. He won't, he pray Arbi, he doesn't pray. It doesn't have to. This will be Yehoshua. There was a better argument between them. What happened? Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai was their student. Shimon ben Yochai was younger. When he was young, he went to Rabbi Yehoshua. He asked him, Tefillat Arbit, do I have to, must? And I said, no, it's not a must. Following day, he went to Rabban Gamliel. Rabbi, it's a must or not to pray Arbit? And I said, sure, Abba. Yehoshua told me Rishut. Yehoshua told me, it's optional. Really? Okay. Come tomorrow to the Beit HaMidrash, we'll see. Rabban Gamliel was the president of the Jewish people. He was very, very great rabbi, great tzaddik, great astronomer, powerful man, very rich man, president. He was like a king. He gives order, whatever he says has to go. He was the president of the Jewish people. But even though he was so busy, president every day, he must sit down and learn Torah half a day and teach Torah to whom? Not the plain people. To the greatest rabbis, he says, to lecture, and they have to ask questions, he has to answer them. A president cannot hear a question without being answered. What kind of president is that then? Means he has to be under a lot that he knows that he must answer every question. Okay. Vishwan Yochai came the following day. Rabban Gamliel started lecturing as usual. He lectures every day. He lectured, and he lectured and lectured and lectured, and he twisted the things till he started talking about the subject of Arbit. He spoke and he spoke and he spoke and he showed, he proved that to show everybody that the Tefillat Arbit is a must. Rabban Gamliel speaks and speaks and speaks. He finished. So, is there anybody that thinks differently? Nobody responded. That means, did you agree with him? But Rabban Gamliel continued again. He brought again the subject. And again he asked, is there anybody thinks differently? Nothing. Then Rabban Gamliel said, Yehoshua, what do you say? Yehoshua said, well, I think it's Chava. You told me on your behalf that you said we should. Then Rabbi Yehoshua said, well, if I was living, he is not living anymore. I can deny it. So he is living and I'm living. Can I deny his words? Yes, I said. I said, you are saying something different and here you don't tell me the truth. But why in the world? Yehoshua, keep standing. You don't sit down anymore. That means as a madness, as a punishment. Rabban Gamliel made Rabbi Yehoshua, who was a very great rabbi, stand up. You know, when we're in school, the little children, make them stand up. Azat, a big punishment, you know. Here, adult, it was one of the greatest rabbis of the nation. One rabbi said, I want to stand up. Yehoshua stood up. It's an order from Rabban Gamliel. Stood up. But the people rebelled, other rabbis. Rabbis is a group, all of them. How long are we going to let this thing go on this way? What happened? They met together after the Mongolian left the House of Learning. He went to attend his business, his work. He said, are we going to let him continue to do that to insult Yeshua? Because this was the third time he did that to Yeshua. Once was one, Rabban Gamliel Yeshua with one figure, Rosh Hashanah, a different day. And if Rosh Hashanah is, for example, Tuesday, Kippur will be Thursday. If Rosh Hashanah Monday, Kippur will be Wednesday. And the Rabban Gamliel has a different figure, Yeshua is a different. Rabban Gamliel heard that Yeshua is going to make Kippur a different day. Rabban Gamliel was very mad. Send him a message. I order you to come to me on the day of Kippur according to your counting. You come to me with your money in your hand and with the can, carry and come to me on Kippur. Yeshua didn't know what to do. He went, he did. Some rabbi advised him to do it. Told him, Rabban Gamliel said, you have the order and you have to do it. He went. When he went, Rabban Gamliel saw him, kissed him, he hugged him, he said, Rabbi v'talmidi, my rabbi, the Torah, and my students, because you listen to my words. Okay, fast. He forced Yeshua to do against his opinion. Now the time was Bechor. Fell into the well, is it Mum, not Mum, they have to check on it. Are they allowed to check on it on Yom Tov or not? There was an argument with them. And again he made him stand up. This was the third time about Arbit. And he did that. He said, we are not going to let it go anymore. What? We have to impeach Rabban Gamliel from the presidency. Impeach Rabban Gamliel. They think it's a new invention here in the United States to impeach a president. They impeach Nixon. The Jewish history, the greatest rabbis, to impeach him. Okay, they said, whom are we going to put instead of him? Well, you know, rabbi wanted to. We were afraid. Rabban Gamliel is a great rabbi. Great tzaddik, who would go there to take his place? Rabban Gamliel was great in many, many ways. He comes from a family of the Melachim. He is descendant from David the Melech. Rabban Gamliel. Another thing, he is a great scholar. If anybody would be the president, would start lecturing, and Rabban Gamliel would ask him questions, wouldn't know to answer, he would be embarrassed. Who am I? Rabban Gamliel would be very mad at me. And he would ask me questions, he would get me stuck. No one would love him. They didn't know what to do. Rabban Gamliel, family, scholar, tzaddik, an elderly man, who will take his place? Nobody would take it. But Achamim started looking, searching. Who is the right rabbi? So Rabbi Akiva is a great rabbi. Like I said, Barminan, Chas v'Shalom. Don't let him be the president. Why? They decided he's not the one. Because if Rabban Gamliel would be very mad, because Rabbi Akiva took the place, Hashem would punish Rabbi Akiva. For the sake of Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel comes from such a family, Rabbi Akiva, originally his family, Gerim, convert. They would not let Rabbi Akiva. They're afraid for Rabbi Akiva. He started looking at this one, he can see Rabbi Azar ben Azariah. Rabbi Azar was young, 18 years of age. But it was a great scholar. Rabbi Azar is the right one. Why? He comes from a family of Azra HaSofer. He was the 10th generation of Azra HaSofer. Kohen from Azra HaSofer. Secondly, he was a man very sharp and wise. Any question you give him, he'll give you 24 answers. On the spot. Every answer you give him to a question he gives, he will ask you 24 questions on the answer. Was so sharp in mind that they can't get him stuck. So put Belazar on there. They went to Belazar, you know, this will happen. The rabbi came in the opinion they want you to be prince. I? No, sir. I can't. Everybody they started pushing him and said, hey, well, I have to ask my wife. Maybe she doesn't want, I can't do against a wish. So, okay, we'll go and ask him. Okay. They want to ask Rabbi-san, Rabbi-chin, we want to be Azamuzer to become a president. You agree? So the Chilkom, please. The Azamuzer looked at her. They said, Mrs., today they are made between them. They're made at Rabban Gamliel. They make me, tomorrow they'll make peace, I'll be the victim. I'll be insulted. They throw me out. She said, it's worth it. Queen for a day. One day I'll be a queen. The wife of the president, she's the first lady. I want to be the first lady. Shema Yisrael. Bilal Zamaniah got stuck. The woman wants. Then he tells them, Yamara, Mrs., look at me. I'm so young, Rabban Gamliel so old. His beard so red. By the way, 18 lines of white beard, milk. I realized that he understood that God wants him to become the president. He took it. He took over. What do you think? Rabban Gamliel would be mad by nature. He will never come, will show up over there anymore. Person who is a king will become the servant to somebody else. He wouldn't come. Rabban Gamliel did not stop. He said, okay, we don't want. Rather than the president, I still want to come to Mount Torah every day. Rabban Gamliel sat down on the benches of the student. And Rabbi Elazar Nazir said, took the place for Rabban Gamliel. But somebody else wouldn't be able to swallow it. He would run away. But Rabban Gamliel never stopped himself from learning. So I said, I want to learn to learn Talmidei Chachamim. He went to the Beit HaMidrash. All of a sudden, Rabbi Elazar Nazir gave a different order the first day from Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel used to give an order. Any person who comes to learn Torah must come to Shem Shamayim. If he doesn't come to Shem Shamayim, I don't want to teach him. Get out of here. And he used to put guards at the door of Beit HaMidrash. Everyone that comes to learn Torah, they check on him, question, cross-examine him. But he comes forward, they see if he's not so good, get out of here. What do you come for? Throw him out. Cross-examine him until they find out if he's really truly comes to learn Torah or not. And therefore, the students weren't as many. Razam said, open the gates of Beit HaMidrash. Anybody who wants to come, let him come. The Gemara said, 400 benches were added. Each bench, imagine at least 10. 400, then that's 4,000 students extra, more, besides what there is. Imagine how many students they used to teach every day, these rabbis. Was added. Rabban Gamliel comes very bad. He said, oh, I stopped so much Torah from the Jewish people. I went to sleep feeling very bad. The Kadosh Baruch Hu showed him a dream. In the dream, he said, hey, here, jars empty. There's nothing in them. Don't look at all these people. Empty people. Nothing. You know, when they say empty, the head is empty. There's nothing there. This is empty. No. Rabban Gamliel was happy and said, well, these students are not, they don't deserve to be students of Torah. They said then Beit HaMidrash. All of a sudden, one day came a case to Beit HaMidrash. Somebody from Ammon, he was converted. His children are good, no good. And they started arguing. Rabbi Yehoshua said, yes, it's okay. Rabban Gamliel said, no. He said, no, yavo amonim wa aviv kal Hashem. Can be amonim. Rabban Gamliel said, can be, Torah, pasuk meforash, mitzvah in the Torah, You can't take a convert from Ammon and Moab. Impossible. Bishra said, no, you can't. How can? Rabban Gamliel tells him, how can? So don't you know that Sanherib came and he took all the people and mixed them up? But you see, these people, the person called Ammoni is not Ammoni, maybe somebody else from a different nation. He mixed up all the nations. Yeshua said, this way, he started arguing. Everyone proves from the Torah. Bangladesh proves, Yeshua tells him, your proof is not good. And he proves the opposite. Again, Rabban Gamliel tries to push his idea. So at the end of Yeshua, won the argument. Rabban Gamliel felt very bad. Why did he feel bad? Not because he lost the argument. He said he felt bad that he said, such a great man, this one of Yeshua, I didn't know. If I knew, I would respect him more. He felt bad for himself for not respecting of Yeshua properly the way he should. And that day, when at the end of the day, Yeshua went to his heart, Bangalore started thinking, didn't I do wrong to this man all the time? Haram, I have to ask his forgiveness. And Rabban Gamliel asked for the house of Yeshua. I told others, show me the house of Yeshua. They went, they show him some basement, a cellar. Shema said, looked at the cellar, I looked at the outside. Paham. What is black, like coal, the walls. Shema said. He went into the house, sees the poverty, men very poor. He looks at him, said, Yeshua, Rabban Gamliel tells him, Mikotle betcha nikar, from the walls of your house, I realize, shepahami ata, that you sell coal. That means, what is it? You sell the whole walls so dirty, black. Then Yeshua said, oi, oi lo lado sheata manhigo. What a pity that you are the leader of this generation, that you don't know how much Talmidei Chachamim suffer. It's your presidency, you made Talmidei Chachamim suffer, you didn't look after them. Yeshua, out of his suffering, he said, he expressed himself. Rabban Gamliel felt very bad. He begged him, he said, please, Yeshua, forgive me, I didn't know. I made a mistake. The Abishan said, oh, don't worry, forget about it. They hugged each other, they kissed each other. Rabbi Zeld said, let's go and tell the people. Rabban Gamliel, we show our friends. What are you doing? Throwing Rabban Gamliel? Do something for Rabban Gamliel. Eh? Do something for Rabban Gamliel. What are you? They started arguing. We should put Rabban Gamliel back. What did Rabbi Elazar Nazariah do, the poor guy? Who throw him now out? This one said, after all, Rabban Gamliel deserves it more. He's an elderly man. He's from such a family, the kingdom, royalty. This one said, no, Elazar Nazariah didn't do anything wrong. We should let him. The people were split. What they do, they met together in order to keep the peace and everything. They decided it would be co-presidency. Two presidents. I said, so nice. Still you are insulting Rabban Gamliel. After Rabban Gamliel took it over from Rabban Gamliel. I said, okay, we'll do it this way. 2 weeks for Rabban Gamliel will be a president, and 1 week for Rabban Gamliel. So they give double time to Rabban Gamliel. And this is what happened. Rabban Gamliel and Yeshua. It's showing us the tzidkut of this great Rabban. Come from Torah, they don't know anything, they just for the Torah, for the secular Torah, Rabban Gamliel, when he knew Yeshua, how great he was and that, he felt very bad. And he never stopped himself from learning Torah. All this I'm saying, what do we come to say? Arbit. Someone asked something. What is Arbit? Arbit is, we said, Pelaga Mincha. There is Mahloket, when does begin Arbit, when does it end? Arbit comes instead of Evarim of Darim. Reshut, Hava, But the question, when does it start, the time of Arbit? One rabbi said, the time of Arbit starts an hour and a quarter before sunset and continues through the night. Chamim said, no. Mincha ends at sunset, Arbit begins after Mincha ends. The other one said, no, Mincha ends an hour and a quarter before. Arbit starts. Chaim said, what should we do? The Gemara said, there is light for every individual. He wants to do like this rabbi, he can do. Like other rabbis, he can do. Ooh, becomes a question. Okay, how about rabbi? One day I'll do like this one day I'll do like this one. It's not proper. But if one day it's okay, how about on the same day? One will pray Mincha half an hour before sunset, and you'll pray Arbit right after Mincha, which is 20 minutes before sunset. Now, is it time of Mincha or time of Arbit? If it's time of Mincha till sunset, then it's not the time of Arbit. If it is time of Arbit, that's why you pray before sunset, then it's not time of Mincha. Mincha must be an hour and a quarter before sunset. That's the call in the language of the Gemara, Tarte de Satre. You are doing two things which contradict each other. Some they say, no, it doesn't matter. Chachamim permitted. The time is in Mincha, but they permitted them. They allowed them to start up.